Hello.
Hi there, is it possible if I speak with Gary?
Yes, speaking.
Hi darling, it's Billy calling today from MMA Legal regarding the Scottish redress case. I had you booked in for 11:30 today, but I'm very sorry, I've only just got off a call with another customer, so I do really apologise. Are you available for 5-10 minutes at the moment?
Yeah.
Perfect. So all I need to do with yourself, darling, is just make sure that we have your details on file correctly, and then what I'll go ahead and do for you is I'll explain the procedure and I'll get everything submitted off for you today, okay?
Yeah, no problem.
Now, if I am correct, I have it down as Gary. Can I just ask you, it's probably a silly question, is it short for Gareth at all?
No. It's just G-A-R-Y.
Okay, it's not a silly question, perfect. Thank you for that. And could I please ask you, is this the best no-bell number for you if the line does disconnect for any reason, Gary? Brilliant. And I do believe we've got an email down here for you. It's garyscrimshaw@gmail.com.
That's right.
Fantastic. Not an issue there. Now, before we go any further, I just want to give you reassurance that it's not going to be the case where you're going to have to go and get evidence or anything along those lines, because we understand it's not something that you're going to have. Not only that, our job is to go ahead and locate your files and build that case for you. Now, basically, a brief statement, so just a little bit of an understanding of what you've had to deal with, and I can go ahead and do my job from that side of things for you. I just want to reassure you that if you feel like some of the questions may be a little bit too much, or you feel like it's a bit much to go through certain things today, do not hesitate, and I'll always work around you, darling, okay?
Right.
Now, I've also popped you a message over on WhatsApp. You've got me there on WhatsApp. So throughout any of the process, if you want to track your case at any time, or if you have any questions, or even if you want to bob some information over to me, you've got me there at all times to track your claim as well, sir. Okay.
Okay.
Now, can I just please ask you, Gary, for your date of birth there, please, sir?
It's the 30th of November, 1979.
No problem. And could I please ask you for your current home postcode, please?
It's Foxtrot Kilo 136 Papa Zulu.
And the door number?
40.
No problem. And can I ask you, I do need to ask, for any reason, have you been diagnosed with any terminal illnesses whatsoever, sir?
No.
No, it's perfect. Not an issue. And have you ever been known by any other names or any previous surnames or anything like that that I need to get down here for you?
No.
Not an issue there whatsoever. Now, whilst the claim is ongoing at the moment, the most important thing that we would require from yourself is a beneficiary, because it's not the case where you're going to be clutching at straws and hoping to get compensation. As soon as we locate your files and prove you was in the places that we discussed today, then that will build the case for you and you will be made an offer. Now, each case is different. Can't give you a direct value. We can tell you that the average at 48,000 at the moment, but of course that's just the minimum average. You can be looking at a lot more than that. For any reason anything was to happen to yourself, we would require a beneficiary. So anybody that you would have, family member, partner, friend, that you would be happy to receive this entitlement if anything was to happen to you. Is there anybody that I can take down for wife? No problem. What's her name?
Wife. Tracy.
Tracy.
T-R-A-C-Y. Yes.
Perfect. Do you know her contact number? If you don't have it to hand, I can get it off you on WhatsApp at a later date. That's not an issue. It's just so we have got it.
Right. Tracy, what's your mobile number? 07423.
Yep.
556.
Yep.
817.
And she is happy to be a beneficiary, is that correct?
Oh, aye.
No problem. And could I please ask you, how old was she roughly when you was first taken to care, darling?
So I went back in, I went into the care system at 4 or 5 year old, so 1984, that would have been.
Bless you. And could I ask you, what area was you living in before you were placed into care, if you are aware of that?
Right, so this is where it starts getting a bit hazy, because I put quite a lot of stuff to the back of my mind. I went through a lot of psychiatrists and counselling. So, I mean, I started, it was through Clackmannanshire Social Work Department.
Would you spell that for me, please, just so I can make sure I got that correctly?
C-L-A-C-K-M-A-N. So that says Clackmannan, and then Shire at the end of that, S-H-I-R-E.
Thank you for that.
Because I was staying in Alva at the time, and somebody from the hanging fell a window while my mum and dad were in a pub. And that's when it all started. I'm 46 now, I've got 2 children of my own, I'm married, I've been happily married for over 20 odd years.
You've gone down the road,
I went into the British Army at 16-year-old and done 7 years, and you know, so I don't dwell on what happened in the past.
No issue there. And of course, what I will get noted down as well, yeah, I did hear you mention earlier that you have seen psychiatrists and done a lot of counselling and things like that over time to work on yourself. But like I say, I do appreciate you having this conversation with me today, because you've got to a certain stage in your life where you've moved on with your life now. Not to say that they're never there, but talking about them brings them to light. And I do apologise that I have to make you go through that, but I will reassure you, once it's done today, that'll be everything, and we'll request all of your files there. It's just so we can have something from the horse's mouth, basically, in the most professional way you can say it to you. So let me just get that here. And did you go into care with any siblings, or was it just yourself?
With my siblings. Now, I don't know what ones went in, because it was 4 years. But I do know that my big brother ended up back with my dad, and my wee brother and my wee sister ended up back with my mum, and I was only one left.
No problem. Can I just take your siblings' names, so when we locate your files, they can say, right, this is definitely his file, because they've got your siblings' names there.
So you've got Stephen, which is the oldest one.
Stephen is the oldest.
Yep, and then there's Andrew, and he's younger than me. And then there's Elizabeth, which is the youngest.
Elizabeth, and she's the youngest of the lot. So you're kind of like the middle.
Yeah, about second oldest, yeah.
There for you. And what was your parents called, darling?
So you had Fiona. Now, do you want a name now? Or a name back
then? It was back then, if possible.
So it'd be Fiona Scrimshaw. And my dad's name was Edwin, E-D-W-I-N, Scrimshaw. But he's also known as Bruce. He's also known as Bruce Scrimshaw.
Could you spell the first name?
For the second one or the first one? Just as in Robert the Bruce type thing, Bruce.
Perfect, no problem.
It was what he got called when he was in the army, and it kind of stuck. So a lot of people knew him as Bruce Scrimshaw instead of Edwin Scrimshaw. But if we're talking about you needing to get files, then I would imagine it would be Edwin Scrimshaw.
No problem. Well, you say that, but let's just say, for an example, you was known as Gav, for an example. A lot of the care homes will file you down as what they was known by, or what you would be known by, so that's why we ask as much information. So when we go to the authorities, because being straight to the point with you, it's the government that have done the neglect. Of course, the care homes was the ones that was actually putting you in that situation, but the government are the ones that have overread it all, and they knew what was going on, and it's them that was funding everything. So... There'll be no way on earth they can say, well, we don't know who Gary Scrimshaw is, because we can say, well, we do know that because we have his siblings' names, we have his parents' names, we know what he was known by in that place, and then that way there's no way that they cannot locate that file in any way, shape or form. So that way it's just...
I know they've got my files because I spoke to one of the social workers down here about 15 years ago who managed to acquire 2 photos out of it of me when I was 5-year-old. So my files are still about.
They can't get rid of your files whatsoever, and when it's a legal representation that requests it, if there was one spelling in your name wrong or something, then they'll just bat it back and say, we don't know where it is. So that's why I just need to make sure we've got everything correctly, so then they're not preventing delays on the case for yourself.
Yeah.
Can I ask you, the first place that you was taken to, do you know the first care home where you was popped in?
Right, so you just needing the care homes and not the actual foster parents or anything like that?
Oh, if you have foster parents as well, that's not an issue.
I was in foster care, and I was in many of foster cares between Bonnybridge, Denny, you know, I was all over, basically. There wasn't anywhere, you know, that you didn't get...
And while she was in the foster cares, was you ever abused in any of them?
Well, See, abuse is quite a big word,
In regards to mental, physical.
Yeah, it's mental abuse more. So, for example, my wee brother got taken away one time, and he never ever came back. So obviously I kind of rebelled and rejected a wee bit, and I was a wee bit of a bad person, you know. Maybe, for example, I peed in a plunge pot just to rebel type thing, you know, that kind of thing. And I got my Christmas cancelled where I never got any Christmas at all. So it was, you know, if we were talking at night in the bedroom, I got told we sit on the stairs. You know, it was more mental and playing with your mind and, you know, kind of putting you
can
in.
Can I ask you for some of the names of the places or even the foster parents' names? So can I ask you?
I can remember one address and everything I was in, which was the one about the Christmas and things like that. It was 3 Duncairn Avenue. Bonnie Bridge.
And this was a foster family. Do you remember their name at all?
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Blair.
Boyer, was that B-O-Y-E-R?
B-L-A-I-R, Blair.
Blair, I'm sorry about that. And this is where... Is this also, if I am correct, when you just said a second ago, where your brother was there with you, but then he got taken away? Is that the place?
He got taken away. He went away to stay with my mum, and I was told that he could never come back because he was away down a road that had holes and potholes, and there was no way of him getting back. So basically, I was left on my own. And for, I was about 9 years onwards, I was left on my own.
He's around 9 at this time. So you was around 9 when you was with this family. In regards to while she was with these here, of course, this was like the mental side of things that affected you. So.
Yeah, it was all mental. I mean, when I got put into the children's homes, the first one I went to was Blair Vada, which was in Helen.
Can I just ask you before I go any further? In regards to you being in foster care, so when you was first taken away at the age of 4 or 5 years old, is that when you was basically placed in and out of different foster families?
Yeah. So I went to called Bonnie Bridge, I went to a place called California and Falkirk. I went to, honestly, there must have been about 7 or 8 different foster parents.
Around 7 or 8 different. And, of course, I'm just going to get this noted, it affected him mentally throughout this. And you have vague memories from different care homes, but of course the memories you just give me from the last one was the last one. Was that the last place you was placed before taken into care homes?
Yeah. Because what happened was my dad said that he could take me back, which he did for about a couple of years. And then obviously things started with my father again, so I ran away. I ran away to Newcastle, and then when I came back, he said that he didn't want me, so that's when I got put into this the care system, the children's homes.
And
that was round about when I was 13.
System. That's around 13 years old. And you, what was the first place you remember being placed in, darling?
Blair Vada. Now you're going to ask me to spell that, aren't you?
Please, if you can, just the best way you can, and I can locate it.
Well, this one's it's based in Helens, but what was it? Blair Baddock was B-L-A-I-R.
Yep.
And then Vaddock at the end, V-A-D-O-C-H, maybe.
Perfect, thank you for that. Blair Baddock. And this was a care home. This was a care home.
Yeah.
At around 13 years.
I was dumped in a room with about another 7 or 8 kids at 11 o'clock at night and dealt to go to sleep. I was in there for about 6 months until I got put to another one.
And while she was in here for around 6 months, can I ask you, what was it like while she was in here, darling?
It was brutal. I mean, there was just, well, basically you were on your own because the children's home was that big. It was five floors with five different grades of children, as they would call them. So from your extreme, you know, kids that done everything wrong, naughty or whatever, to kids that were, you know, kind of shy and put back. So you were kind of put into a stage and basically left to your own devices. It was more feral than anything else. So your mentality would just...
You're in fight or flight mode as well, aren't you?
I mean, it was more like a jail, I would have said. You know, when you're hearing the big slamming of the big fire door closing at night and things like that, and you're just in this room with six other people that you've no clue who they are, with whatever backgrounds that they've got.
Was the staff ever physical in here in any way, shape or form that you remember?
I wouldn't say physical, but they were always too busy to deal with you. Again, as I said at the beginning, it was all mentality. I mean, the state of my mind at that point, as you can imagine, was pretty low. Everybody there that you think won't love you, that's supposed to love you, and you're getting put into a system where they're going home at night and they make sure that you know about it. And if you don't behave, then you'll get locked in a room, or you'll get told to sit in stairs, or you'll just get abandoned in a wee room that's supposed to be a quiet room and things like that. It was, again, as I said, it wasn't so much physical abuse that I dealt with, it was more all the mental abuse and the way that you were treated and the way that people made you feel like you were there for a reason. Basically, everybody was tarred with the same brush. You were in there because you weren't wanted and you were bad.
So can that's I ask you whilst treated. You were here, was that the place where they sent you out when you said at the, I believe you said earlier, I think if I'm correct, you said earlier that they made you go and sit on the stairs at the night time? Or was that with the foster family?
That was with the foster family. That was the one in Bonnybridge. The one in Bonnybridge was my worst ever foster home. That's the one that suspended my Christmases. That's the one that made me sit in stairs. That was the one that basically mentally and tortured me for about 2 years.
And then after you was then in the care for around 6 months in the care system at Blair Baddock, where was you then moved to?
Craigellachie. Which was in Clydebank.
Was that Craig?
Craig, having Craig, and then Ellachie,
yep.
ELLECHIE. And that's when I started on, it was in there that I started on my counselling, seeing psychiatrists and things like that, because I was physically harming myself, I was putting my head through windows and things like that.
Right.
Because when people don't listen to you, you try and get them to listen to you. And the way that I felt that people could listen to me was if I injured myself.
Can I ask you here again, was it the same mental side of things where you was left to fend for yourself in this place?
Yeah. Basically, I mean, as a children's home, the staff go home at the end of the day. You know what I mean? And then you'll get the night shift worker in there, you're shifting in your room and that shift. Again, if you've got any problems or you need to talk to them, they're not there for that. They're only there to make sure that you're all right type thing. Again, as I said, it's just all mentally and emotional. Back in the day that I was in there.
Can I ask you, I just need to ask the question, did they ever assist you to the showers or anything like that, or was food always an option?
Huh? I never know Fred or anything like that.
No problem there. Did they ever use anything like the belt, the cane, the whip or the sand shoe or anything there at all?
No.
I just need to ask it notes mentally. No,
not that I can remember, to be fair.
No problem.
As I said, I've walked off quite a lot of things out, so.
No problem. Here, I started a bit of counselling. And do you feel like the counselling was helping you while she was in here, or do you feel like that wasn't the best counselling that they did provide to you?
I don't think it was, no. I think that was them just filling in, dotting the T's and crossing the I's, to be fair. Or dotting the I's and crossing the T's. See, what you've got to understand is, see, when you're brought up with life with rejection, all your life, and then you go into the system, the care system, to the people who are supposed to be there to help you,
exactly.
And they reject you just as much as what your parents did, then
most definitely.
It might not leave physical scarring, but the mental
scarring. Well, it leaves scarring for life inside a mental affects you most definitely.
Which is sometimes worse. So it's no.
Did you get in touch with any of the older children here?
All the time. You had to. You had to have your standing. And you were manhandled. You were restrained.
To stop, like, to restrain.
You had to be physically restrained. Until you calmed down or it was sorted out or whatever. And you were always put to your rooms. They actually went out for training for restraining children.
How long was you in this care home for, roughly?
The rest of my time. Until I was 16 and I joined army.
I was here until I was 16, suffering.
The only way that I thought that I could get out of the care system is to join the forces. And that's what I've done. Now, of course, can I ask you, when you went on your way at the age of 16, of course, you concentrated on joining the armed forces and things like that, but of course, I just have to ask the question, you were still impacted by this, and you did... Still am.
You did, yeah. Let me get that in.
I think it took me nearly 2 years to tell anybody that I was with my wife when we first got together, because you're never sure. And then obviously 23 years later we're still together, eh? But
you can see that now, because it's 12 months back, but it's
And of course, like you say, you've got, made the relationship with your wife and your children now, but everyone else, you just feel like it's a struggle to make relationships with new people. You just kind of keep yourself to yourself. Is that correct?
I don't talk to my family or anything like that, no. We don't talk to anybody now. Me and my wife have made a life for ourselves and a completely new. Well, we stay back in Clackmannanshire now. Obviously, we're children, but none of my family stay about anywhere near me. My dad, and that's dead now. If you look at what you've just wrote down there, you can see I was the one that was pushed away.
Most definitely understand that.
You know what I mean? The rest of them won't stay, so there's always been that. So we just don't talk.
And if I am right in saying, like I said, you've never really felt love or ever felt cared for up until you did meet your wife, which was a struggle to let her in for around 2 years. You kept that to yourself. Now you have obviously made a life for yourself with your wife and your children. You have got some blurred memories, but there's some memories that you'll never, ever forget. And you still struggle with this, with remembering these kind of things. You struggle with PTSD, which is reliving these sort of situations, which your wife does comfort you the best you possibly can, but it doesn't take away how it still has affected you and how you felt rejected your whole life.
No, you've got it bang on, exactly.
Now, in regards to yourself there, what I can reassure you on is we are not here to settle for anything. We will get you the justice you deserve. Now, I know no money will take away what you've had to deal with in any way, shape or form, but we can, if we can get your money back for this, which we can, we will make sure to get you every penny that you deserve, because we understand that we can, you can at least do something and enjoy yourself with that, and it is some sort of justice. I know it's not the justice which you should be getting, but if we can get you some sort of justice, we will get you the top end of that. Now, what I'm going to do for you today, Gary, is all of everything you just explained to me, I'm not going to reword that in any way, shape or form. I'm just going to retype that and I'm going to emphasise everything that you've explained to me on how it's impacted you then and how it's impacted you now, just to make sure that we do not miss a single thing on there for you. Now, your case will be submitted over for you today. I have to tell you, it will be a maximum of 9 to 12 months, just because you've got no terminal illnesses, so we can only fast track it if you have a terminal illness or if you are over the age of 68. Now, with that, it doesn't mean that it will take 9 to 12 months. You could be contacted in 2 months' time with the value of your claim. We just need to tell you that to be on the safe side, but it will minimum as an average of 48,000 per customer. Is that okay with you, sir?
Just
as an average, but like I say, of course you can't put a figure on what you've dealt with, but we'll reassure everyone to how it's impacted you then and now, most definitely. Now, what I've done for you is you've had a text message sent over to yourself and you've had an email sent over. Whichever one is easier for you to click on, would you click on that for me? It's just so you can give us access to request your files, because we can't do that without your confirmation.
So I've just gone to it just now.
I've been with you then 5 years. I've tried so hard to do this together, but I still don't want you.
Sorry, I'm just going to say, finish.
Do not worry. When you get to it, it should...
So it's saying you have signed a document.
Oh, perfect. Email, got it. Let me just see. It's the fastest anyone's ever done that. I didn't even know you'd loaded it yet. Perfect. That's done. What I'm also going to do for you, darling, is I have got you on WhatsApp, but I am going to send you another message over just so you've got me there on WhatsApp. What I would require from you is a picture of your ID and proof of address. So ID can be anything from driver's license, passport, provisional, bus pass. Proof of address can be any letter dated to yourself in the last 3 months. This is just for any check procedure, so they know it's you receiving the payment and it's also you that's obviously getting it to your address. Now, if you could send that over to me on WhatsApp, is that okay with you, darling?
You just need the front of my license.
Yeah, just your front of your... Front of your life, if you're sending over your provisional, we can use that as proof of address as well. Is that got your current address on it at the moment?
Yeah. Yes, it has.
Yeah, just send that over then. Just send me the front of that and that's fine because we can use that as proof of address and ID.
You should have that now.
Brilliant. So that's come through to myself. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to appreciate your time today, and I do appreciate you going into that kind of conversation with me because, like I say, I don't want to make people relive that situation. It's just unfortunate we have to have a quick discussion on that so we have some sort of understanding. Now, throughout any of this process, if there's anything you remember and you think, right, I should have mentioned that, do not hesitate to bob me a message over. I can update that legal team for you as regularly as you update me. And if you want to track your claim at any time, you just bob me a message over and I'll give you a call straight back as soon as I've got 5 minutes spare. Okay, sir?
No, no problem. So you don't need any more ID or anything? Everything's...
Don't need anything else from you as of yet whatsoever. You'll get a call. If anyone contacts you, it's either going to be myself or the solicitor, which is Matthew Bell from MMA Legal. Now, he has everything that he requires. If for anything is anything else that he does need from you, he will contact me and I'll get in contact with you straight away, darling. But that's everything for now, okay?
Right, no problem. Well, thanks very much for your time today.
No problem whatsoever. Thank you for your patience and I hope you have a lovely weekend, sir, okay?
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.